It's the French, the Swiss, and the Americans, 1, 2, 3, after the 2012 Gordon Bennett long-distance balloon race. Wanted, 27,000 new passenger aircraft. And updates are coming to the Cub Crafters Carbon Cub SS. This is Aero News for Wednesday, September the 5th, 2012. I'm Glenn Moyer. After a flight time of 69 hours and 2 minutes, France Team 1, the 17th and last remaining competitor in the air in the Gordon Bennett balloon race for 2012, landed safely late Monday and claimed victory in one of the world's oldest aviation challenge events. Sebastian Rollins and Vincent Lay's odyssey came to an end in southern Spain, north of Seville. They landed a straight-line distance of 1,620 kilometers from the start in the Swiss village of Ebnat-Capelle. The Swiss Team 1 of Kurt Frieden and Pascal Wittprechtiger landed just 18 kilometers behind the French team and thus achieved a well-deserved second place in this prestigious gas balloon race. Americans Andy Caton and Bill Manuel, Team 2 of the 3 U.S. teams participating, also landed in Spain after a flight of 1,370 kilometers, just over 42 hours in the air, and they claimed third place on the podium. 17 teams from 8 countries participated in the 2012 contest that began with the launch of gas balloons on Saturday night in Switzerland and ended with all teams down safely late Monday in either Spain or southern France. The outcome might have been different. The Swiss Team 1 was forced to prematurely end their flight as they were flying into a restricted flight area that required pilots to cross the area no higher than 5,000 feet above sea level because of military flight tests. The team had used most all of their ballast, and expecting intense thermal activity, the duo reached the reluctant decision to opt for a safe landing rather than face an uncertain and dangerous game with thermals. In total, 7 teams had flights of more than 1,000 kilometers. All of the teams must now make their way back to Switzerland by road for the award ceremony to be held this coming Saturday night. The Gordon Bennett Cup, or Coupe Aéronautique Gordon Bennett, is the world's oldest gas balloon race. It began in Paris on September the 30th, 1906, sponsored by the millionaire sportsman and owner of the New York Herald newspaper, James Gordon Bennett, Jr. The premise of the race is simple: to fly the farthest distance from a common launch site. The latest global market forecast from Airbus identifies a need for some 28,200 passenger, those of 100 seats or more, and freighter aircraft between 2012 and 2031, worth nearly $4 trillion, reconfirming an upward trend in the pace of new aircraft deliveries. Of these, over 27,350 will be passenger aircraft valued at $3.7 trillion. Passenger traffic is expected to grow at an average annual rate of 4.7% in the next 20 years, during which some 10,350 aircraft will be replaced by new, more efficient models. By 2031, the world's passenger fleet will have expanded by 110% from slightly over 15,550 today to over 32,550 then. In the same period, the world's freighter fleet will almost double from 1,600 to 3,000 aircraft. Asia-Pacific will account for 35% of all new aircraft deliveries, followed by Europe and North America with 21% each. In value terms, the single biggest market is China, followed by the United States, UAE, and India. After 3 years in production and a fleet of well over 100 aircraft, the Cub Crafters Carbon Cub SS is evolving for 2013, according to the company. Highlights include a new cowling design, an improved cabin heat system, a new starter, and a new voltage monitor. New options are also being introduced, including a ground-adjustable propeller from Whirlwind, a GPS-equipped emergency locator transmitter, and new amphibious floats from Aeroset are coming soon. Cub Crafters is now accepting orders for the 2013 Carbon Cub SS. Prices start at $172,990. PZL Swidnik has unveiled the prototype of the SW-4 Solo Rotorcraft Unmanned Air System Optionally Piloted Helicopter. That's a mouthful, otherwise known as RUAS-OPH. It's a single-engine rotorcraft, and they've unveiled it in Poland. The SW-4 Solo is the result of extensive cooperation between PZL Swidnik and Augusta Westland engineering teams. The RUAS-OPH version of the proven SW-4 single-engine platform is allowing PZL Swidnik SA to become a leader in the European rotorcraft industry. With this solution, the company aims at playing a major role in the UAV sector, which shows significant growth potential and market opportunities. The SW4 Solo is designed to deliver maximum flexibility to operators thanks to the capability of performing both piloted and unmanned missions in land and maritime environments. The SW4 RUAS prototype is expected to perform its maiden flight in a piloted configuration in the forthcoming months, while the first unmanned flight is expected to be performed in 2013. The Avedine EX600 is a highly capable multifunction display that is designed to enhance situational awareness and safety for pilots of general aviation airplanes and helicopters. Now, the EASA has granted an approved model list minor change approval to IAE Limited of Bedfordshire, England, for the installation of the Avedine EX600 multifunction display in Cessna 200, 300, and 400 series aircraft. Avedine says, quote, "This is the first in a series of AML approvals that we are seeking, which will ease the installation approval process, saving both time and money for our European customers who upgrade to the EX600, end quote. When Aero News continues, Airbus says it will sell only made in China, in China. The DOT fines Aerofloat $60,000. And there's simulated emergencies, and then there's...
Diamond Aircraft's D-Jet is the ultimate private aircraft for the owner-flown market, offering simplicity of operation, safety, and affordability. Imagine starting the turbine with a simple push of a button. Push the single lever throttle forward. Monitor your flight on the cutting-edge G1000 with integrated autopilot and enjoy the reliability, performance, smoothness, and quiet of turbine power. Visit Diamond on the web at www.diamondair.com or call 888-359-3222.
We continue now with Aero News for Wednesday, September the 5th. I'm Glenn Moyer. Airbus says it will only sell airplanes it builds in China to Chinese clients, but that does not mean they will never end up flying for other nations' airlines. An Airbus spokesman said that when a Chinese leasing agency purchases aircraft assembled in China, it is possible those airplanes will wind up with non-Chinese airlines, according to a report appearing in the French news service AFP. The agreement struck in 2005, which led to the establishment of an Airbus factory in Tianjin, restricted the sale of airplanes built in China to only Chinese companies. The leasing exemption was agreed to before Airbus and the Aviation Industry Corporation of China inked a deal to continue building Airbus airplanes in China through 2026, including assembly of the new A320neo. The French financial publication Les Echos reported that leasing firm ICBC was set to provide an A320 to Air Asia, a low-cost carrier in Malaysia. There are some 50 A320 airliners on the Airbus order books for China, totaling about $3.5 billion. The Tianjin plant is Airbus's only non-European assembly plant for now, although the plane maker announced in July that it will be building a factory in Alabama. The U.S. DOT has fined Russia's Aerofloat airline for violating the department's expanded airline passenger protection rules, which took effect in January. Airfare searches on Aerofloat's website after January 26th returned separate listings of base fares for outbound and inbound legs that did not include additional government taxes and fees. The total fare to be charged, including those taxes and fees, was ultimately disclosed at the bottom of Aerofloat's website, but the carrier failed to advertise the entire price to be paid by the consumer when a fare was first stated. Under the new full fare advertising rule, all government taxes and fees must be included in the advertised fare. The rule applies to both U.S. and foreign airlines, as well as to ticket agents. Well, every person who's obtained a private pilot certificate has had to demonstrate his or her ability to find an acceptable emergency landing site to the FAA examiner giving the check ride. But a Colorado pilot going for his PPL on Saturday had to deal with the real McCoy. The candidate was Brian Garrett of Westminster, Colorado. He was flying with FAA examiner Drew Chatilla when the TL-2000 Sting LSA that they were flying lost one of the three blades of its prop. A second blade apparently separated shortly thereafter. Garrett is part owner of the plane, which he told the Boulder, Colorado Daily Camera he'd been flying for about 2.5 years on a sport pilot certificate. He said the engine started running really rough, and then it got, quote, really quiet, end quote. Shatia said that he knew it was a bad situation. But Garrett reportedly got everything correct. He issued a mayday call, established the best glide speed for the airplane, and found an acceptable emergency landing spot, a dirt farm field southwest of Meade, Colorado. Shatia said Garrett flew the airplane and did all of the work. When they were on the ground, and the only apparent damage to the airplane was the broken propeller, the examiner said Garrett had, quote, demonstrated his competency, end quote, and that he'd passed his check ride. I hope so. When Jack Myron of Wilton, New Hampshire, developed his science project, he never knew it would be as successful as it was, or that he would startle a homeowner some 10 miles away. Myron, an eighth grader at Pine Hill Waldorf School in Wilton, devised a project in which a weather balloon would carry a camera and weather recording instruments aloft. He said he didn't know how high it would go, but it certainly exceeded his expectations. Myron and his parents launched the balloon from Bedford, New Hampshire, according to a story appearing on Boston television station WCVB. It went to 110,000 feet, the very fringe of space, before it exploded. The onboard parachute deployed as planned and allowed the payload, carrying the experiments, to come safely back to Earth, landing in the driveway of a homeowner in Manchester, New Hampshire, about 10 miles away from the launch site. The homeowner was Sean Toland, who said the camera was still going when he retrieved it from his driveway. Toland called police because he had no idea of the payload's origin. The police discovered Myron's contact information inside the box with the camera. The pictures and weather data he obtained will be used in a science fair project later this year. Well, it's a bit unusual for us to begin and end this Aerocast with a balloon story, as we've just done. It should be noted that those balloons were gas balloons using helium or hydrogen for lift. I mention this just so you'll know that what you've just heard was not just a lot of hot air. I'm Glenn Moyer. Thank you for listening. You're now cleared for departure.